Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, then, it's the Luke and Pete Show. It is a Thursday. I do hope you're keeping well. I'm Pete Donaldson. I'm joined by Luke Moore. Luke, say hello or say anything.
Hello. I'm just going to say hello. Keep it traditional.
Hello. Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. Luke, can we kick off with something terrible has happened, or wonderful, in the world of Luke and Pete.
Oh, God.
Pope Francis, and I quote this Twitter page, Barstool Sports, Pope Francis is as horny as hell. The Pope is horny.
Oh, I saw this actually.
Horny, horny, horny. Yeah.
He liked a tweet of a lady's bottom, didn't he?
A lady with her bum out on Instagram. I think she's some kind of model. Pope Francis has, or certainly Pope Francis's Instagram page has liked the picture of the lady's bottom.
Yeah.
And
logged into the wrong account.
Which is a little embarrassing for the actual Pope. Yeah, do you reckon he's not on, he shouldn't have been on Men?
But the Pope's not manning that account. There's no way the Pope even knows what Twitter is. I'm not having that.
Did the Pope actually come out quite recently and say that masturbation wasn't a sin?
Yeah, the Pope comes out.
He's just making up the rules, left, right and centre, isn't he?
I said to you before, like, we sort of talked about this a couple of weeks ago when you found out about a Pope who loved horses.
That wasn't the full story.
I said to you...
And you know it.
Yeah, well, it absolutely wasn't. But the thing is, I said to you, like, the Pope and the Catholic Church will come out with some stuff and it'll be like, okay, everyone knew that. Everyone knew that ages ago. You're supposed to be one of the bastions of moral authority on this planet and you're about 50 years behind everyone else. What's going on? Also... Yeah. On that note, Pete, one thing I should make you aware of, Barstool Sports is a production company, website, bunch of podcasts, social media accounts and stuff. And there's a little bit of crossover. Yeah, there's a little bit of crossover with them and the type of stuff that, like, you'd get on like Lad Bible back in the day and stuff.
Yes, yeah.
They're quite a controversial outlet, Pete. I know how woke you are,
but
Barstool Sports have been at the centre of quite a few controversies over the years.
I just want to make you aware of that. I do remember that, actually, but I didn't have another source. I only had the source that someone had retweeted from the woman in question's account. Who's the woman? Oh, I don't know who it is. Natalie Garibotto. What a great name.
Great
for
name.
A woman with a big bum. Check out the Garibotto Botto.
So you're suggesting it's...
Mr. Roboto.
What do you think's more likely then? That the Pope's got some kind of member of staff who was logged into the wrong account, or the Pope genuinely likes big butts and he cannot lie? Your other brothers can't do that.
Look, God is everywhere. God is in the silicon injected butt of a woman, of a model. It's going to be, it's just everywhere. You know, it's all God's work. That's what they say.
Yeah, he didn't make any mistakes.
No, I do.
As Lady Gaga would say, God makes no mistakes.
Oh, I watched a couple of films over the weekend. I watched the Lady Gaga Star is Born.
Is it good?
Have you seen that film?
No.
It was quite enjoyable. Very interesting vocal choice from the lead male, whose name escapes me, Bradley Cooper.
Yeah.
He's chosen a very, very sort of deep, guttural voice because they cast his brother. They cast an actor who's got a very deep voice as his brother, and so he kind of adopted this kind of...
That feels like you're putting the cart before the horse a bit there.
Yeah, just choose someone else.
Yeah.
Like a Mickey Mouse kind of choose. Who's the guy who talks like this? And he talks, he's always talking like this.
Joe Pesci?
Yeah, let's go with Joe Pesci.
I don't think Joe Pesci would work in that league. I mean, I haven't seen the film. isn't Joe Pesci in his 70s?
Yeah, he came out of retirement to do The Irishman, didn't he?
The thing that drives me absolutely mental is when they, like, movies will cast someone and make them do a different accent when they could have just cast someone who's got a native accent. We've talked about this before, and I know it's down to sort of screen testing and the look of the film and stuff, but like the biggest weird one for me, and I'm about to kind of annoy a lot of Star Wars fans probably, and those who listen intently to Luke and Pete show will know that we are very much a Star Wars household here, because Mimi, my wife, is a massive Star Wars nerd. In fact, she's just got into Star Trek as well, so it's not getting any better.
Oh, nice. Next Generation?
Yeah, she's well into it.
Classic.
Yeah, so basically at a certain time every evening, the living room door just closes, and that's me. I'm just pottering around the rest of the house.
I like that, though. It's nice to have a bit of time.
I'm fine with it.
To yourselves. Nice.
There's nothing wrong with Pete without only being able to walk into the living room when you hear the Star Trek theme tune playing out, because you know the episode's finished. No, I'm joking. It's fine. But the point I was going to make is that, that, you know, if you think of the two lead characters in the newer Star Wars movies, you've got Daisy Ridley and John Boyega.
Yes. Right?
Daisy Ridley plays Rey, English accent. John Boyega plays, what's his name? Is it Finn?
Right.
And he's got an American accent, but he's British.
Yeah, there's a few people who had a problem with that.
I haven't got a problem with it, I mean, necessarily. I just think it's a bit odd.
Yeah, I mean, and Samuel L. Jackson, I think, sort of spoke that. I think it was about John Boyega. I said, why are we getting British actors to do American voices? Why can't we find American actors for that sort of thing? I think he was talking about John Boyega. But yeah, I mean, if you can do the job, I think, is it fair that English actors sort of bring a little bit more gravity possibly to roles that the American directors just don't see in their own?
Well, do you remember that, Pete, do you remember that car advert for the car brand Jaguar, where they were trading on their Britishness as a brand? I don't even know if it's a British company anymore, but they were trading on the Britishness of Jaguar as a brand, like a classic British car. And they got a load of brilliant British actors who've all played like bad guys in big movies. So it was people like Ben Kingsley.
Yeah.
And they really traded on that. And it was all the fact that, you know, Jaguar was British and it's really cool to be British. And at the end, it was Ben Kingsley looking to the camera and going, "It's good to be bad."
Oh, yes. It's good to be bad.
And it was an amazing advert because it was trade on the fact that British people are always bad guys in like American movies. And
he shouldn't have done the Gandhi accent. That was weird.
Yeah, well, that's another weird thing, isn't it? Like, that's weird in retrospect.
That's naughty, isn't it? That's a bit naughty.
Yeah, it's really strange. But at the time, like, I mean, this is the thing, isn't it? At the time, I mean, I don't want to come across as like anti kind of anything, but no, I understand it's problematic. But at the same time, he's genuinely a good actor, isn't he, Ben Kingsley? Yes. It doesn't mean it's not a good performance, does it? Or does it? You tell me. I don't know. I don't know what I'm allowed to say. What do you think?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Speaking of
classic movies, by the way, this is going to sound horrendously cliched, but it's true. So I'm just going to stick it out there. Not going to hide any light under a bushel, not to our lovely listeners. I was about to go to bed quite early on Saturday night, last Saturday, because I'd been running that day and I was just tired. I'd done loads of stuff. And this is about 10 o'clock. And I was just about to turn the TV off and I saw The Godfather had just started.
Oh, right. Okay.
And I ended up watching the whole thing. I hadn't seen it for years. And I know this is not a revolutionary thing to say, but fucking hell, it's a brilliant film. It is brilliant. Like, there's nothing about it that you could change to make it any better. It's a perfect film. And the one thing I loved about it, Pete, is that... And this kind of chimes into something a friend of mine was saying a number of years ago now, maybe 10 years ago. My friend Sean is a lecturer at one of the London universities. I can't remember which one it is, but he lectures in film, right? And he says one of the things he does every year, every new intake, is he plays them The Godfather.
Right.
And he said it's absolutely amazing as like a litmus test, because the more the years pass, the less the kids are into it.
Right,
and the reason for that is because it's so slow paced.
Yeah,
like they can't. Apparently, like a lot of his kids, they can't handle it. It's just there's not enough happening. And I remember watching it on Saturday, thinking, oh, this is perfect because I'm not in a hurry to do anything, and I'm just lazing about. And it's a beautiful character study in it, and the way it unfurls as a story is amazing. Of course, the acting is like ridiculous, so good. But it is, compared to like a modern movie, I reckon if I was to put on like an epic movie now that came out kind of this year, it would be night and day because it's so slow.
Mm. It's like modern music, isn't it? Everything's very compressed. Everything's just the same loud level all of the time.
That's weird. That yeah.
It's just this like I'd sort of use the example of like Blade Runner, the last Blade Runner. Massive fan of that film. It had the same kind of stillness and calm that the previous, obviously the first one had. And I loved it for that. I love the stillness of the frame, and I love how unbusy it is. So when things start to kick off, it really matters. I'll use the same example. Like, obviously, it's a modern TV show, but Mad Men's a really good example. Like, people find it very hard to get into Mad Men, whereas they could probably get into something like, you know, Breaking Bad, because it's just a bit more noisy. But, like, Mad Men's just still kind of beautiful watch. So when small things happen, it's just way more accentuated. And I just love films that have that stillness and that calm and that authority to just go 5 minutes without having huge things happen. Yeah, it's just a confidence.
But the thing is, Pete, I don't think many directors would get away with it these days. It'd probably just be blocked. And you probably get a handful of directors. I mean, I don't really know anything about film. And for those of you who want to learn more about it, they should go and listen to Clash of the Titles, because they're the guys who know about it. But for me, it feels like you probably get a handful of directors who get away with doing whatever they want, maybe like someone like Chris Nolan or whatever. And other than that, you're probably in hock to the what the studios think the audience need. And I'll tell you what, that also lends itself to music as well. My friend Duncan, who's the features editor of a music magazine, and knows loads more about music, modern music, than me. He says in pop music now, it's all done essentially, but I mean, it's done by songwriters and stuff, but it's all done hugely informed by like algorithms and you've got like the studies have shown you've got like 20 seconds to get to a really catchy chorus or you're pretty much done. Like people are, it's not going to be picked up. It's not going to be listened to. It's not going to be shared on the key thing these days, which is Spotify playlists, and you're finished. Now, the reason that's interesting, I think, is because that probably sounds a little bit soulless to people listening. And it did to me when I first kind of heard about it. But actually, there is an element of that it was ever thus, because if you think about some of the classic records over the years, and the example I'll use is the Beatles' Rubber Soul, right? Within 20 seconds of Rubber Soul being put on, you're into the chorus of Drive My Car, right?
Yeah.
And it never lets up the whole rest of the fucking album. So the Beatles understood that like 50 years ago, 55 years ago, but it's kind of being done in a slightly different way now. And I wonder if this whole idea of like disposable culture and instant gratification is going to at some point flip right back round, and people are going to start getting a bit more thoughtful again. I mean, maybe they won't. Maybe it's just an unending bit of progress, but quite fascinating the way it happens. Because if you put on a classic piece of entertainment, The Godfather or something like that, it just seems a bit weird. It feels really slow, and against modern society where everything is so quick, it's quite interesting as an experience.
Yeah, but not only, I would say, like, a lot of modern songs are obviously sold on how useful they are to like social media. Like TikTok is a big needle. Yeah.
Syndication across movies and video games and stuff and TV shows. And
yeah,
like
exactly.
That.
Yeah. So the hook is incredibly important, but I just do like the fact that people have artists nowadays, they write songs for TikTok, and they, you know, they debut them on TikTok. They write these kind of very catchy tunes that are, like you said, right into the chorus immediately as the song begins. It's fascinating.
Yeah, I also on your Breaking Bad point, actually, I just thought about that. That's quite interesting, because if you go back and watch the very first episode of Breaking Bad, which I think was originally made as a pilot episode, because obviously that's a lot of the time, that's how TV shows are kind of commissioned, clearly. There's a lot packed into the first episode. Like, it's ridiculous how much. I mean, I think in the first episode, he goes from, I think he's already cooking meth in the first episode. And he's already loads of stuff has gone wrong in that first hour. And I think it does slow down as they get more confident and as they know they've got the backing of the studio and stuff. But a lot of these classic TV shows, it almost feels like they are made and they are successful in spite of the production companies and the commissioners rather than because of them. And another example I'll use on that is because I'm pretty sure people were quite cold on Breaking Bad at the start, and they had to be convinced to carry on making it. The same was with The Wire. The Wire, the first season, didn't really do much, and the funders said, okay, you can have one more roll of the dice at this.
Right.
But so we'll give you one more series, but after that, if it doesn't fly, we're gonna have to pull it. And that's why the second series of The Wire is completely different. It's all about the docks, and there's different characters and stuff. Right.
Yeah, because I was going to say, because the second one is so different. And I, you know, if you suddenly got that money to do in the series, I mean, that is really kind of different to what.
Yeah.
It's right out of the project. You're just on the docks all the time. It's basically just a gangster film. I had no idea they were like on a, you know, they're on the bones of their ass.
I don't think David Simon had planned it like that. I don't think so anyway. And then also the fifth season was cut short by the writer's strike as well.
Yes.
So that's why it gets a little bit mad, because I had to pack a lot of stuff in, I think. So,
brilliant.
It's amazing. Like, and I think you know, all those series, both those series are great, and I would obviously chuck The Sopranos in there as well, and one or two others, but they're obviously not without their problems. Now, I do think that this is a bit technical and maybe not of huge interest, but very, very quickly, there's an element in creative industries, whether it be TV, making records, movies, podcasts now. And Pete, you'll know this as well as I do. From the people who have the money and who commission these things and pay for them to be made and take a chance on stuff, very, very quickly it becomes a case of, let's think of any reason at all we can to not do something because it's my head on the block and I don't want it to fail. And that's why it's better on that level to be doing the way we try and do it, which is kind of independently, because then you get to back your own judgment and you just get it done. If you pitch something to a big company, fucking hell. But it's absolutely Byzantine and bureaucratic, and like I say, a thousand reasons to not do something. So I'm not surprised that that's the case with things like Breaking Bad and stuff like that. And on the just to bring this round full circle, on The Godfather, apparently Francis Ford Coppola had to fight tooth and nail to have Brando in it. But the production company didn't want to know. They were like, we're not having him. He's a pain in the ass. He's like, yeah, it's fucking Marlon Brando.
Well, do you remember our mate Andy, who made the film? House of the Dead, but Ibiza. It was like Ibiza kind of
Ibiza Undead. Yeah, Andy Edwards. Yeah,
Ibiza Undead.
Yeah.
He was like, you're in one of his zombie movies back in the day, wasn't he?
When he was
out of uni. He made a $1 million film, and you know it was fantastic. You know, lovely bit of work. And
didn't
and
have Emily Atack in it.
It did, yeah. The darling of ITV at the moment. She's going on a sketch show. So,
I know. I'm going to watch that. I haven't seen it yet.
Because you're an In-Betweeners fan, aren't you? So you're probably...
Massively.
You're probably
I don't want to be unfair to Emily, who I'm sure is absolutely lovely. I've never met her. I do no have high hopes for it. But I'll give it a bash.
Well, I think it's funny because it'll upset a lot of stand-ups who think they deserve a sketch show.
Well, you think it's funny, Pete, because... No, you think it's funny also because you don't want to be seen as someone who's not laughing when a woman makes a joke.
Yeah, probably something like that. But... I would say that, but he made this film for like $1 million, and that sounds like a real success. But I remember seeing him around the time that he did that film, and it was so difficult. Like, it took years with the script before they even looked at maybe hiring a camera. It was years. Yeah. They secured the funding, and then it took a year before he was able to kind of get the script into some sort of position to get it sorted, because people want a return on their money, and with money they think they've got a say. When in the thing that you bought, you should trust the person that you're giving the money to. I think in many ways.
That's why you're not in charge of the accounts for our company, though, isn't it?
Good point.
And some of the there's that production company now. Is it's either I always get it mixed up. It's either Blumhouse or A24. One of the two. They just make loads of movies, and their business model was basically set around the fact that maybe a couple of them will cross over, but they make them quite cheap. And Andy, who you speak about there, he's also as well, like obviously people listening won't know him, but he's a, he's like a proper auteur about stuff. He's so into it. Like he'll work a job that perhaps he doesn't want to be doing, but he'll just get the money and he'll plow all that money into giving him time to make a movie. Because he's like, ever since I've known him, which is, you know, getting on for 20 years now, he's been single-minded about wanting to make movies, right? So
yeah,
it kind of, that's what it takes sometimes, isn't it? Yeah, that's what it takes.
He's a very inspirational young man.
He's a good lad. He's not that young. He's older than both of us, so no. That's wrong. let's take a break.
All right.
Let's take a break.
Let's get out of here.
Before we slag off a good friend of ours for no reason anymore. after the break, we'll do some of your emails. We'll be back in a minute.
He does some excellent boudoir photography.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
On Stakhanov.
One Direction's Liam Payne was in the studio talking to Jack Mate's Happy Hour about life as a global pop star, with untold stories about his time on The X Factor, life in the world's biggest boy band, and going solo. This one is not to miss.
I was part of this massive machine, and I knew my part in the machine very well. So I knew what I was doing every day. But then when that machine falls away and you're in the world and the world's just happening around, like, where do you fit?
You can catch the full episode on Spotify. If that doesn't tickle your fancy, on this week's Football Ramble Presents, Kate and Jim sat down with former Chelsea, Juventus and England striker and football legend Ennio Luco to discuss her storied career and her autobiography, They Don't Teach This.
whether it's racism, whether it's bullying, whether it's sexism, often these behaviours are silent. They're not always something that's said. It's a feeling, it's a set of behaviours by a group of people towards you that makes you feel incredibly isolated.
You can hear more from Enya Luko with Football Ramble Presents on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All that and more at Stakhanov.
And we're back with the Luke and Pete Show. Pete Dawson with you. Joining me in the booth, fire in the booth, is Mr. Luke Moore. You all right, mate?
How you doing? It's not fire, though, is it, really?
No.
What is it?
If it's a rolling puddle. Charcoal briquette that's just smouldering.
What's your favourite element?
Is lead an element?
Yes, it is, yeah.
PB.
Do you know that, who is it? Our colleague and friend John always says, I mean, this is probably an old quote, but there's three things that people can watch endlessly. Mm. One is a fire. Two yeah. is running water.
Right.
And the third is other people working.
Other people working?
Yeah.
What, like, as in like physical labor yeah. or just kind of?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, there you
I
go.
Could watch, I mean, his cup does not overflow with me being a lazy man, but I could watch that man getting punched on the tube endlessly.
Oh, what, you mean that actual man, not John?
No, not John. Well,
either. listen, it's now time for this section where we do your emails, and loads of you have got in touch. No more, by the way, than the guy who signed us up to the fucking Donald Trump campaign.
Oh, fuck off. That I've unsubscribed like again. Fuck
the
off.
Amount of emails that they send out. I mean, that's state-sponsored harassment, as far as I'm concerned. It's like five a day. It's mental.
Oh, it's incredible. It's just like the email shots you get. Why haven't you opened this message? Why haven't you done this? Why haven't you done that?
Yeah. Crazy, man. Absolutely crazy. And the thing is, it is funny on one level, but on the other side, it's like, you know, them and Fox and all the rest of them poisoning the brains of a lot of Americans. It's very sad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Anyway, hello@lukeandpeteshow.com is the email address. And, you know, we heard from Noah Roth earlier, which is a fantastic mm-hmm. name and probably the name of the show. But driving him pretty hard is an email we've had in from the one and only Joe Salt.
Oh, lovely.
He sounds like he'd have his own like artisan kind of butchers or something.
Salt.
Yeah. Joe says, hi guys, big fan of the show. And I'm a fan actually of all the Stakhanov products.
Oh, lovely.
Are they products if we don't sell them? Probably.
Mm.
Wish we did sell them. Been listening for a while, usually on my commutes to and from work at the Burns unit in Nottingham.
Oh.
Now, I believe that is a part of the hospital which deals with people who've had burns. Not, it's not like Robert Burns unit. It's not like sponsored.
No, it's not a celebration of Scottish history.
No,
then, yeah.
No. He says, we have a plethora of injuries relating not only to burns, but various traumas requiring plastic surgery. So they branch out above and beyond just the humble burn. He says, this includes animal bites. Now, we see plenty of accidental cat bites and dog bites. Some police dog bites, where usually the person will say, I was just standing around minding my own business, which is obviously not true. And I've occasionally even seen a monkey bite and a fish bite.
Nice.
All requiring a wound washout closure, which is either stitches or glue, and some antibiotics. However, the story I want to tell you is about a five-year-old me and an unfortunate run-in with a bad-tempered squirrel. My mum and dad had taken me out to Elverston Castle in Derbyshire, beautiful part of the world, just for a general walk around and some fresh air. My mum had brought along a few bags of nuts, as she knew there were loads of squirrels and she loves animals. Embracing her inner Disney princess, she began feeding the squirrels from her hand. I was so excited by this that I began to do it too, probably thinking maybe I could befriend one and bring it home or something like that. One squirrel, a big meaty bastard, came sauntering over. He took a nut from my hand and turned to walk away, but then paused. He then turned back and bit my middle finger as if to say, thanks for the nut, you little twat. Now fuck off out of my forest. Needless to say, I was inconsolable. I got bundled into the car to the nearest minor injuries where I got a dressing and a rabies jab. My dad, however, decided to pull a typical dad move and tell me he thought the squirrel was probably radioactive and that I'd grow a tail and become Squirrel Boy. This made me cry. I think he was probably just trying to make me feel better, but it didn't work. Hope you enjoyed. Keep up the good work, Joe Salt. So, being bitten by a squirrel. Never heard of that before.
No. I mean, if I was going to suggest where the squirrel would go for you first, it would probably be the testicles, because they love nuts, don't they?
Yeah. Straight into the nutsack. You know
straight into the nutsack.
I'm not sure if squirrels fall under this category. They may well do, but you know that like a large amount of rodents have to constantly gnaw on things, don't they?
Oh, what, to keep their teeth?
Because their teeth
down.
Keep growing.
Right. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
And so maybe that squirrel near to sharpen up a bit and blunt, or maybe even blunt his teeth, and decided that boy's finger was the place to do it. Like, I've been bitten by loads of stuff. My parents still use the fact that I've been bitten by things to take the piss out of me now, even though it was unquestionably
like the dog
their
thing,
fault.
Yeah.
I got bit, I forgot to tell you last week, I got bitten by a fucking bird at Bird World as well.
Bird World. Let's hear about Bird World.
And every time What's we drive, like, the thing is, Pete, right? And then Bird World, I think, is in Surrey, right? So you drive through it to get
Bird World
from my parents' place to London and vice versa, right? And then I'm telling you now, right? There's been like, I mean, 5 years ago when I was in my mid-30s, I think I was driving my parents somewhere, drove past the sign for Bird World, and both of them started cracking up, going, oh, look, don't drive down there. Don't take that exit. You might find it, you'll be at Bird World again. You get bitten. And I was like, how old was I when I was bitten at Bird World, Mum? And she was like, 3. Well, it's your fucking fault then, isn't it? Not my fault. So it's not just the dog that I mentioned last week. It's the bird as well. Who gets bitten by a parrot? It's mental.
Well, I don't know.
Your childhood, Pete, with animals was amazing. There's pictures of you on the back of an elephant. There's pictures of you with your arm around a chimp. You had a great time with animals when you were a kid.
Didn't get bitten by a parrot. That's all I'm saying. I just think you're in his world. He's not in your world.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And the thing is though, Pete, do you not feel that, you know, because the famous picture of you, you must be about 5 or 6, and you've got your arm around a chimp, and you've also same kind of series of photos that I've seen. You're on the back of an elephant. Now, I don't think either of those things should have been happening for obvious reasons.
No.
But it was the 80s.
The elephant
so
in particular looked awful.
Yeah, we'll give you a pass because it was the 80s. It's not your fault. Mm. You're only 5. But the fact of the matter is that a chimp is an incredibly dangerous animal, right? Mm-hmm. And if it's under duress or out of its environment, there's a chance it's going to hurt you, mate, isn't it? It could take your face off.
Chance it's going to flip, for crying out loud.
Isn't there a woman who actually had her face taken off by a chimp?
I believe so, yeah. I think they might have killed the chimp as well, which is really disappointing, quite frankly. Just wants a face. He just wants a human face to play with.
Which one is it? It's the one that looks like a person.
He's just blending in. Yeah. I was going to say, I'll probably round off with this, my favourite email of the weekend, sent to us yesterday at around about midday. Hello, Paul. Hi, Luke. Hi, Pete. I thought I'd get in touch with you to tell you about the time I accidentally killed a pensioner.
Oh, no.
Come on. Long story short, short, but I'll try. He hasn't tried. It's really long. When I lived in London, I was in a pub band with some older guys. We had a great time, but eventually I moved back up north and said bye-bye to the dive bars of the North London circuit. Anyway, soon after the drummer was sadly diagnosed with ALS, horrible disease, and cognizant of his impending loss of function, rang me up and asked if I would come down south to do one last gig with the band. Naturally, I wanted to do this because he was a lovely guy and his diagnosis was a big blow. The guitarist was an ex-policeman who now ran a retirement home in Finchley. And he said there was a guest room that wasn't being used, and so I could sleep there and we go to the gig together. I decided to drive down on the Friday night straight from work, which would get me into London around 11 p.m. So my friend who ran the home told me the number of the spare room and said he'd leave the door unlocked and I should just go in when I arrived and put myself to bed and we'd catch up the next morning. Now, I knew that these guest rooms...
Can this be true?
If it ended in the way that it almost ended, I would have said it's bullshit.
Okay, sorry,
This is fine. Now, I knew that these guest rooms were actually the rooms left by recently vacated residents passing away, but it didn't bother me much, at least not then. So late Friday night, I arrived at the retirement home, followed by my friend's instructions to the second floor, and I arrived in the room that he told me to go into. I tried the handle, and sure enough, the door was open. I dropped my bags off, got a quick drink of water, and got ready for bed. The room looked very lived in, and I was a little bit worried that the recently deceased resident must have been very recently deceased because there were still family photos and cutlery and glasses in the dishwasher. Still, I don't know how these things work.
This is reminding me of being locked in your house that time.
Good Lord. And there were no dead people in my house. I'd like to make that very clear. Just five alive, angry men. Still, I don't know how these things work, and I'd been driving for 6 hours, and I was now too tired to care. Having decided to call it a night, I went to the bedroom, feeling around for a light switch. Eventually finding one, I saw my bed for the night before me. As I was about to lie down, I saw that the duvet was crumpled up and clearly had something beneath it. I was in my exhausted state, suddenly terrified that I had accidentally stumbled into the room of an elderly resident who had died so recently the body hadn't been removed. Of course, logically, this doesn't really make any sense, but I was very tired and in extremely unfamiliar surroundings. Paused for a moment to consider what the hell was happening. The bed suddenly began to move and groan. I was rooted to the spot with terror, and suddenly an old gentleman sat bolt upright in bed with a horrified look on his face. In my tired state, I didn't quite know what was happening, so I shouted in shock, prompting him to do the same thing. It became instantly chaotic, and I thought the best thing to do was to clear out as quickly as possible. I tumbled out of the room, wondering what to do. My friend came running in the corridor, having heard the commotion, and apologising profusely because he told me the wrong room number, and the room I'd effectively broken into was actually a man's room, two doors down. He told me to go to bed and he would explain everything to the old gentleman whose slumber he had just rudely interrupted. The next morning, my friend told me with a sorrowful look on his face that the shock had sadly proved too much for the old gentleman's already fragile heart, and he had died overnight, but not to blame myself.
I was absolutely
horrified, of course, and I didn't know what to do or think. This lasted maybe 15 minutes before my mate exploded into laughter and reassured me that he was just messing with me, and the guy was fine. I met the man, apologised, he accepted, and all was well.
Sorry about that.
I'm glad you're not dead.
It could have been a
hell of a lot worse, Luke. Fantastic.
And then what happened was they found out that they were holding the blanket under the wrong chandelier and it crashed to the floor.
Oh, good lord.
I'll give them the benefit of the doubt there, because I mean it's kind of believable. It is kind of believable. But Peter, I've just realised we've run out of time. Who's the guy who emailed that in?
That was Paul Staverley.
Thank you very much for that, Paul.
Thank you, Paul.
Something to look forward to for Monday when we come back is that I've got a really interesting story about broadband that I didn't even get time to talk to you about, Peter. And that's normally top of my list when it comes to this kind of stuff. So
people are going to be champing at the bit for that over the weekend/week.
We'll revisit that on Monday. But until then, it is time to say goodbye. Good luck getting through lockdown. Do make sure you look after yourselves and each other, to paraphrase Jerry Springer. We'll get through it together. And before we know it, it'll be spring and we'll all be happy again. But until then, we've got Luke and Pete to get you through it. So leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts, and subscribe to make sure you don't miss a show. I know that podcast hosts talk about that a lot, and you probably zoned out of it or sounded yourself out of it by now, but do that, because it's really important for us. Helps us a great deal. Have a great weekend. By the way, I just found out The Godfather Part 2 is on this Saturday, so that's what I'm going to be doing this Saturday night.
It's your weekend, yeah.
And we'll speak to you next week. Say goodbye, Peter.
Hasta la fuego.
And it's goodbye from me as well.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.